The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
This is the Fantasy Baseball Prospect Podcast. It is Prospect One. Hello, friends, and welcome back to the show that disappeared, floated away into the ethers. No, it is back. I am back. And glad to talk about prospects with you here today. We don't even need to get into all this stuff. Thank you for all that are hanging around after another hiatus, really, in the last 6 months that was needed in many different directions, one of which being like uber sick, like crazy sick how I got, but also just kind of reorganizing everything. And what better way to return back to action than to present to you a breakdown of the 2025 P1 ADPs. Oh, yes. While things were gone in a way, we were able over on the ITL Patreon to get the P1 ADPs done. They are mock drafts. We do 15 rounds, 12 teams, multiple leagues, industry, and with some of you incredible people on the Patreon. We conduct these drafts, and then we take the data, the royal we. Really, it is my great friend Jesse Severe from Dynasty Sports Life, who's amazing. Jesse constructs a lot of this stuff for me, and we get some incredible data. We get an ADP based off of all of these. Of course, it's not like a perfect science or anything like that, but it is based off of all of these drafts with just really Dynasty prospect fantasy-minded people that are putting this together. We get to see breakdowns of each league. We get to see breakdowns of the highs, the lows of each player, so you can see the variance. And we get to see like where the industry people, how many guys did industry people take? However it is, we get lots of really good data that you end up getting to do whatever you want with it. You know, I've talked about this for years. I've been doing this. This, I guess, is like the fourth year, I think, of doing these. So next year will be year 5. Try to do a couple a year so we can like really span the data out. This is a really fresh one because we had a mix up to not get kind of a later season one. So this is like boom, fresh. We're not going to compare it to anything until we do the next one. But whatever it is, if it's a draft based list, if it's a value list, if it's a market list, whatever that is, this comes in a little late to like really push for dynasty drafts. A lot of you guys would be done. So probably going to be a little bit more on the value market. But again, it's whether you take this to understand the value of your prospects and your league's prospects. That's a really good use case. Or, James Anderson, I always use him as kind of like a test case. He's always said he loves to see these to understand where the public market is. And that can create advantages and disadvantages for you. If you really love somebody and the market is low, or if you're just not really into somebody and the market is super high, the buy and sell of prospects. And, there's some great people in here. Maybe maybe you don't care what I have to say. Maybe you really care like what Jeff Ponce is doing or James or something like that. You can kind of pick and choose and kind of look at some of that. There's just a lot of cool stuff out of it. That is now available on the ITL Patreon. So amongst all the other things as well, I just updated my top 500 prospects. That is there. Top 400 Dynasty. The last update of the first year player class for, whatever reason, if you guys are still kind of doing that. I still want to show the dictation, but the next update, that'll be gone. And then I've got the P1 ADP data available for you to take a look at. So there's a full update. It is available on the ITL Patreon, inthisleague.com. You can go over there, sign up. You can get access to that. You could also get into the GroupMe rooms, the Prospect One room. It's like my favorite room. It's just cool people, great people, talking prospects all the time, fantasy, trades, advice. You can have access to me and more. So if you want to do that, I deeply appreciate it because you are supporting it all in thisleague.com. And the support while I was out for a little bit. I was around. I was still here, you know, getting shows on Fantasy Pros and in the GroupMe rooms and working on the stuff. It just, the Prospect One shows weren't, I wasn't able to get them going. But luckily, this is a great way to get it back. Next week, I'll tell you at the end of the episode what we're planning to do. And then we're going to get into in-season and we're really going to be able to tackle this. Because prospects are still life, baby. And even into the, you know, the spring, into spring training, it's pretty fascinating. The Cam Smith rise over the last couple weeks is definitely something I've been trying to come to terms with is, you know, because like I remember having some of the data during first year play, you know, like doing all the first year player work, talking with lots of people, and he always hit the ball hard. And there definitely was like, all right, this guy's like really great in college and he does his stuff, but there's like a swing and miss that still has some people worried and what's that going to look like? He's just maturing left and right. The same thing is happening with Christian Moore. It's pretty crazy because I've been thinking about how this class, we looked and we were like, or not all of us, but some of us were like, ooh, you know, like I'll probably trade out of this class, probably trade down and blah, blah, blah. And it's not great depth, but there is depth across the board. And it's like, the more you look at it, class is really shaping up to be a lot better. Now, is it going to produce Ronald Acuna's and Julio Rodriguez's and Corbin Carroll? I don't know. Maybe not. But when you're starting to look at the floor of this class, Travis Bezzana is obviously near the tippy top. Nick Kurtz has looked phenomenal in spring training and everyone's getting eyes on him. Jack Caglione is improving. Then you get Cam Smith and Christian Moore. They're rising up. Chase Burns, you got to see like Stuff Plus numbers. Some of the things like TJ Stats, like some of the great people that do the Stuff models were oohing and aahing over that. Hagen Smith, all of a sudden it's like the first round, it's pretty great. And hilariously, remember, like, the day of the draft, who was the guy that some people had at number one? Charlie Condon. And Charlie Condon re-broke his wrist or whatever, and he's going to be out for some time, and he's falling down. So I'm just kind of fascinated that, you know, the class has improved itself so well, and how many of those players, specifically, are really pushing the case to be up in the majors. And some of these great you know, spring training performances from Nick Kurtz, Jack Caglione hit 500. Cam Smith and Christian Moore look like they're going to make the freaking roster. Chase Burns is still a ways away, but, you know, he's close. And not just trying to focus on the first-year player guys. That, I think, is fascinating. But then you also have, you know, look at, like, Bubba Chandler. Jared Jones looks like he is going to have Tommy John. I'm jumping the gun a little bit. Not the ship, the gun. Because he's just going for a second opinion. That's never good. That's probably not going to be great. Even more probably throws up the opportunity that we're going to see Bubba Chandler sooner rather than later. Chase Dolander might be breaking in the rotation. I can go on and on about the prospects. Logan Henderson. It's a really interesting first-year player class that I think has improved, and we've seen a lot of that in spring training. It's a really interesting class of prospects that, A, could break camp and that are going to make some impact in season. And we will talk about a lot of those in these P180Ps. And, you know, luckily we did these kind of late enough that sometimes you do these a little too early and it's like, oh, hey, a month has happened. And all of a sudden, you know, like I said, like the Cam Smith thing, like the Cam Smith, it was in our face when we did this draft, maybe not as prominent, but if you had done it a month earlier, you might've seen Cam Smith 40 spots lower. So you're getting like a better representation of this. So I'm excited to do this. I think this is a great way to kind of get back into action and kind of get our sea legs back on us as we are getting back into the prospect side of everything. So once again, you know, thank you to everybody that hangs around and is here for all of this great stuff. Want to remind you, as always, episode brought to you by my friend Dennis Sidler over at Sid's Graphs. You want to check out all the great prospects and major leaguers. Chris Sale did the great Chris Sale signing. Unfortunately, Jared Jones might be one of those. We'll see where that goes. He did his awesome signing. It was great stuff with him. Bubba Chandler, though, is one that he just did. And I think he was out over on the East Coast doing some signings as well. So go and check it out. SidsGraphs.com, SidsGraphs on eBay. And you can check SidsGraphs on the socials for all the great stuff that he's got if you're looking for some great, great memorabilia. Also, I'll throw out to you before we get into breaking this down, I am going to be doing a live stream on opening day. So I'll be on leading off. If you guys follow me on that, leading off, I'm on, it'll be Monday through Friday once the regular season starts. I'm always there. And then after leading off,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Say, I like you. I like you so much I'm going to make you my partner. All you have to do is find the gold and I'll share it with you 50-50.
Prospect One.
One of the crazy things, you know, coming back to this too, is people heard some of the podcast, and I appreciate, by the way, everybody that had reached out. Like, I even had Jesse be like, hey, is everything good? P1 and miss it. And I'm like, oh, thank you. No, it's good. And I wasn't really good at communicating on that. But on the communication front too, I literally wasn't like speaking well. I got so sick and I had to bear through some Fantasy Press podcasts, but like I was losing my voice and I was thinking about doing this because this is a very different beast of what I do with Prospect One. It's me. I'm sitting here talking with you nonstop, no break. And I was just thinking like, oh, my voice is holding up. That's nice. That feels really good. And it feels really good talking about prospects. And it feels really good to talk about these guys. Because also, you know, in spring training here, I've missed a decent amount of being able to go out, especially towards minor league spring training. I will give you a little hint, though. I'm going to a game tomorrow. I've been to one or two. And I've seen, you know, lots of prospects during camp, but watching the games, I did get to see Jesus Mate, who we're going to be talking about. It was a Brewers Dodgers camp, and Felipe De Turri, Eric Bitonti, some of the Dodger guys. I didn't see Yohandri Vargas or Emil Morales, but specifically got to see Jesus Mate. And I can tell you, I was actually thoroughly impressed. He went between playing third and short, and then I think in the spring breakout game, he played second, much bigger than I thought he was. There's still kind of a cross bodiness approach. There's still like a lot of like movement. 17 years old, but there's still like a lot of movement going on like in the swing, but like from an age to level standpoint, like he is pretty electric, really good defender. And I was pretty fascinated to see him playing at third base as well, because that is a potential. So I've seen a couple of those guys tomorrow. I'm hoping to see a few more, not as many as I had in the past, but I have been over in camps and seen guys like that's just like the specific games, but I've still been over, you know, seen Jack Caglione, White Sox, going and see Kyle Teal, Braden Montgomery. I have this picture, if you follow me on Twitter and Instagram, same handle, where this is a really cool moment. Bo Jackson showed up. I've been to White Sox camp. I've been going since 16 or 15. I love the camp. I love being over there. It's, you know, it's not as crazy as the Dodgers and you get closer access and stuff. And I'd never seen Bo Jackson before. Bo Jackson rolls in. And by the way, I'm with a friend and we're looking and we're like, right there is Bo Jackson, Jim Thome, and Tony La Russa. Holy Hall of Fame. That's just, you know, 20 feet from us, just watching these guys. And there's some cool moments on the prospect side. Colson Montgomery had just been, I think like 2 days before, had been sent down to AAA. And Chris Getz had talked about, you know, he kind of got set back and he's got to figure some stuff out. And you just kind of, I don't know, like, putting a bow on a turd, if you will. Like, it was a crappy situation and he was trying to make it seem positive. Surprisingly, Colson seemed like in relatively good spirits. Then all of a sudden I look over and Bo Jackson has Colson get in the cart with him and they're sitting there talking for like 20 minutes. And I'm like, man, I would love to hear what's going on in that conversation. Then Braden Montgomery walks up to where like people are. And then he's a super nice kid and he's like signing autographs for people. And then Josh Barfield comes over and goes, I got to steal him. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, he's going to take him to Bo. Takes him over to Bo, puts him in the cart. And that's a picture I put out. Texas A&M was retweeting it. Like, everyone loved it. And it was like fly on the wall, man. Love to know what Bo and him were talking about. But then Braden came over after. Dude was beaming. And he was like, you know, someone said something to him and he's like, oh, sorry, I had to sit over there and I was talking with a pretty cool guy. And then, you know, starting poking about, you know, the conversation. And you could tell he was just like beaming. He was like, I did not expect that to happen. And that's kind of a really, you know, cool experience. But all of that aside, like in the, you know, the camps and games I've been able to go to, I have seen Lazaro and I've seen Braden and Kyle Teal and, you know, a multitude of others, been over at the Angels and, you know, got to see Christian Moore with some BP. So I have seen plenty of guys, but as the games have gone on, that's where I got knocked down multiple pegs and back with it. But those are just a few of the tales of being out there of the Jesus Mates. And hopefully I'll see a couple of decent guys tomorrow and I will share back on it. But we are here to talk about the P1 ADPs. So if you don't ever want to be a part of the Patreon, that's okay. Or you don't want to check that stuff out, because I'm going to talk about some of it, not all of it, not even an iota of it, but I am going to break down some different categories. So I'm going to give you the top 15 of what the ADP, you know, spit out. I will give you those top 15 guys. And there are, as I'm looking at this, there's one name that stands out. And will every year it happens. And you know, funny enough, last year it was Leo DeVries. I believe Leo DeVries had a high of 6, and he's on this top 10 or top 15. So he's back there. Most of this is pretty chalk. There's one very surprising name. So we're going to do the top 15. Then we are going to do what the first year player came out on this. Again, it's a little late for all of that, but I do think it's interesting to see based on the ADP, what was the top? I'm going to give you the top 12. What is the top 12 ADP? And I'm going to tell you right now, here's what might be most fascinating to me. Those 12 are inside the top 65 overall prospects. I could be misremembering, but I don't ever recall having 12 be that highly put in on the ADP, which also, again, speaks to like this class turned into something everyone was trying to trade out of. To, oh, there is a lot of value. There was a, if you drafted 3 months ago, you got tons of value. You actually might have been able to get two players inside of the, you know, top 10. Not that there's been like too much crazy movement. I think like probably, I mean, Cam Smith and Christian Moore were the two I think that really jumped up. I think those guys really jumped up. And there were instances where maybe Moore, Smith, Montgomery, maybe two of those three were like outside of a top 12. But, you know, for the most part, they're all still there. But we're going to look at what that is. Then I'm going to give you, I thought this is really interesting, the top 50 industry most aggressive. So I've got a tab on here and it shows each player. It'll show the drafter who...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey. Who's the most aggressive on that of all of the leagues? And who is the least aggressive? So we're not going to talk about the least aggressive here. That just means like the best value. I'll give you an example. I took Sebastian Walcott in the first round. I took him 8. I got the best price on Walcott. I got him at the cheapest of anybody. So the lowest he went was 8. The highest he went was 3. And he went 3 in 2 leagues. So I got the best value. So that's the best value. I want to focus on the most aggressive. Who is the most aggressive? And I'm specifically going to pick the industry people that took part in this. And I have got the top 50 ADP, which players had an industry person take them the highest of anybody. So I think you understand what I'm getting at. And I think there's roughly like 15 names here we're going to talk about. Then we are going to look at the highest variance players. What that is, I think I have 11 of them. These are the guys that have the wildest, highest draft pick and lowest draft pick. So that's the variance between them. Some of them are, the bottom two are crazy. They're wild. I had a little thing. I might throw out a couple interesting guys as well. And then the final thing, and I've done this every single year I've done this, or I've given you this piece every single year I've done this, is the all industry prospect or prospects. What that means is that is a prospect that every league was taken by someone in the industry. Just because I'm using the industry people doesn't mean I devalue anybody else, but I just think that, you know, You guys don't know all the awesome people that I know. You don't all know Barry Baker. You don't all know Mummert. You might all know Dan Foon. You should. But this year, I'm going to give you a side caveat. There is only one player in the top 200 ADP, one that was taken by all industry. Now I have a side caveat. I have a second player because three took him in the industry, and the one person who was not a quote industry person to me is like a super industry. Like they're one of the smartest people. I love this person. And I think they should, again, not to like cherry pick, but like this person should be valued in as like an industry person. So I'm going to give you this little side one as well, but there's only one player that was taken by all industry and he was outside the top 100. I'm going to tell you right now, it was 108 was his rank. No chance you guys get it. Take your guesses right now. Take your guesses right now. I'm not going to give you a hint. Maybe I'll give you hints throughout, but there's only one player that was all industry and he is a massive pop-up name from last year. This isn't, you know, Zaire Hope. This isn't going to be Owen Casey or Chandler Simpson. No, this is a much deeper name that was the all industry guy. So that is what we've got in store. I guess I could have, you know, we could have just gone into it, but I wanted to break down here are the different levels of it. Okay, so prospect ADP, we've got 200 names here. Here is your top 15 in a roto. This is your first round. Roman Anthony, number one. He was drafted one in two leagues and two in two leagues. Only one industry person took him. That was Beck. So obviously you have to have that position. So he ended up being the default number one. Number two, Roki Sasaki. I was actually surprised about that. Roki was taken one once, taken two once, three once, and four once. So the variance, it was kind of all over the board. The only industry person to take him was Matt Thompson with the third pick, but that ended up putting him at number two. The reason behind this is I really, truly believe two through seven is kind of a toss-up for a lot of people, even though there's one other like stray name that's going to come in. Number three, Dylan Cruz. He was taken first one time, second one time, and then fourth and sixth. No industry people took him. Number four, Christian Campbell. Christian Campbell, 3, 5, 5, and 6. Two industry people, Cross and Jesse Roach, both took Christian Campbell. I would have loved to have taken him. And number five, we'll stop there for a second, is Sebastian Walcott, who I took, Matt Eddy took, and then Barry Baker and Jordan Miller, both actually really good dynasty players, took. So he went 3, 3, 7, and 8. So that's a weird mixture there. So there's like, we're starting, there's like a tiny bit of variance there. I got the best value on him. I think that's a good core. The only guy missing, and he just pops down, he almost got to number five, is Jason Dominguez. He's number six. He went 5, 5, 6, and 7. The like using the decimal points, it was 5.3 for Walcott, 5.8 for Dominguez. So
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's in this league.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
It's kind of like a 1-2. Those six, that's your core. I know I value Dominguez a little bit higher. I think they're all interchangeable. I really don't feel steadfast, and hopefully I've been kind of clear about that. I don't feel like, oh my God, it's only Dominguez. No, I think that's the weird thing about all of it. I think that like all of these guys have their movement. I was shocked. And I don't, obviously like without the pods, I wasn't able to express this enough. I said this in some spots, but I was shocked seeing Sebastian Walcott in person this year. He's huge. I really believed that he was always going to be like a Fernando Tatis Jr., who Tatis, he formed into his body, but it never really became big, you know, like he's kind of like lanky, kind of skinny. got some muscle and stuff like that, but he never got big. And that was always a question, like, well, you know, how is the bat going to progress and stuff? Walcott got big, man. He got huge. He was unrecognizable to some people that I know that had been around him, and they were like, that's not Walcott. I'm like, that's Walcott, dude. He's taller. Looks like he's 6'5". I would speculate 220, something like that. So just the physicality and like the raw skill set, Walcott is fascinating, but you know, he's probably the rawest of all of these players. You know, Dominguez has been able to move through a lot of stuff. Christian Campbell, body projection isn't maybe the best, but I mean, he might have the best ceiling floor combination of all these guys. Anthony, I think Anthony actually could have the lowest floor of all these guys, but has a ginormous ceiling. We got to see Roki. I've talked about this a lot, for better, for worse. You know, like I get to see on the back of the YouTube, and PZP and I did a couple live reactions. I did a couple shows today talking about Roki, and a couple people kind of being like, man, listen to you guys after one game. And I tried to be calm about it, but I was like, I've already kind of had some concerns about Roki. Just little. It just, instead of just, as some would say, glazing him and just being like, oh my God, he's 100 with this split. And just, I was just like, yeah, slider's not good. And we hear some stuff on the fastball and there's injury worries. Like, that doesn't make me feel great about long term. I don't think he's like, you have to jump on it. That start was just a little bit of a more of a confirmation. And I attempted in some ways to be like, hey, listen, I'm not trying to, there's no victory lap, and I'm not trying to like overreact and be like, oh my God, like Roki sucks and all that. And it's like, well, no, just from a redraft perspective, I'm not super interested this year whatsoever. He didn't hold runners on. He was super erratic. He threw one splitter for a strike. Fastballs were under 50% for strikes. That'll all get better long term. But guess what? I got him high in Dynasty. So I'm still good with that, but I'm just not like insane about Roki. So like from a prospect perspective, I guess knowing you get like the production now, and especially if you're in one of those leagues where you like you gain the round back, that's cool. But you know, I'm taking a lot of these hitters over him. Okay, so that's like the top six. That's your core here. Moving to number seven, I think this is a good play. It's Matt Shaw. The difference, 5.8 for Dominguez to 7.3 for Shaw. So Shaw was a more true number seven. Scott White and Jeff Ponce both took him, if you're curious about that. Number eight gets really interesting. And Andrew Painter, another pitcher, comes in the top 10. And the reason behind it is our dear friend, Mr. Nate Handy, who we'll talk about when we talk about the industry ones, because Nate took him 4 overall, but you also had Tim Kanak and Brett take him. The only difference, though, is they took him on the wheel, and in a 12, like, I kind of like the idea of taking Painter on the wheel, but Nate just, he laid it down. He said 4 for Andrew Painter, so that pushed him up. He would have been probably, I'm looking at this, I could have imagined Painter being 10 and maybe Joe being 11. But Painter got pushed up because of that. That was probably one of the bigger variants because Nate. Number 9, Walker Jenkins. We had James Anderson take him at 10. So that was about relative. 9, 10, 12, and 11. By the way, Nate, I don't know if I think I said it with Painter. It was 4, but then 11, 11, and 12. So that was more of the pure drafting. Rounding out that, the top 10 at number 10 was Leo DeVries. And check this out. The two industry guys got him. George Bissell took him, which we'll talk about. But James also got Leody Tavares way back in the day. Leo DeVries. So he was able to get Walker Jenkins and Leo DeVries. That might be one of the best starts of any of these when you look at it. He ended up being number 10. Walker Jenkins, the difference between Jenkins and Leo DeVries was like very, very tiny. All right, so that's your top 10. Taking a look at them, Shaw, you could argue, could be in that top 6 category because, you know, dude's hitting 5. He's in the majors. You know that. Painter, they're still babying, is a concern. Two young guys, Jenkins and Leo DeVries. And I actually kind of thought Jenkins could go like lower because there seems to be kind of a negativeness on him. But, you know, he held up there. I got him maybe higher than some, and that maybe have affected it a tiny bit. Love the Leo one. I think Leo's in that right spot. Now let's go to the rest of the first round, and then we're going to get the big name here in a second. Jackson Jobe coming in at number 11. This was a three industry one. And as a matter of fact, let me look at this. I'm just going to try to eyeball this. Now, Painter, well, it's funny, it's the pitchers. Painter and then Jackson Job, those of these top 15 are the only guys that were three of four drafts an industry person took them. So it was the pitchers. You had Frank Stanfill, CK, and Jeff Ponce all took Jackson Job, who ended up with number 11 because his high was actually 7. That was by the non, I have no idea, it's like the username. I don't know who this was, but they took him 7 overall. Number 12, Emmanuel Rodriguez, who Tim Kanak took. He had a variance of 9, 12, 14, 14. I'm going to skip 13 for you because I'm going to give you the next two, and then we'll talk about it. Number 14, Max Clark. I love this one. I love the value of Max Clark. This is one of those where, well, actually 14 and 15, if you're looking at this and you're like, all right, who are some guys based on this that maybe I could get some deals on? Well, if you compare it to my personal rank, Max Clark I have as like a top 10 guy. Maybe there's not a ton of variance. Actually, his variance, check this out. His high was 13, his low was 16. So that's not a lot of room, but I have him like a tier higher. And Travis Bazzana. Travis Bazzana had, I guess, the biggest variance of the top 15 guys, where he's number 15 on the list, but he went as high as 10 and as low as 24. I didn't realize that. Chris Clegg took him the highest at 10. Scott White also got him at 15, and he went a low of 24. Give me the Max Clark and Travis Bazzana at deals, especially Travis Bazzana. If he's being valued outside the top 20 prospects by somebody, that's a buy. That's a major buy. Drum roll. You guys know exactly who this is. Number 13. I can't do a drum, but a little, little, little. It's like the number 13. Jesus Madé. Of course. Now, to the credit, Jesus Madé did not go inside the top 10. He did not go at 6 or 5 or anything like that, similar to Leo DeVries from the year before. But he also did not go lower than 16. He went 10, 13, 14, and 16 overall in all four leagues. Chris Blessing and CK both took him as industry. CK was the highest at 10, but Blessing took him at 13. So yes, Jesus Madé is a roto top overall player. And frankly, you know, if you were playing in a 12-team league, you could take him 12. That's a first rounder. So he pushed that way through. I still think he's pretty raw. The day I saw him was so fascinating. Dude, there were 5 agents waiting for him out. I've never seen so many agents on the backfields of a minor league spring training game. There were like 5 and a couple like photographers. And he was just like, signing stuff, go talk over here, take a picture. Like, I mean, inundated with that stuff. And he was a pro. But, you know, on the field, like, he is still raw. I think there are some raw stuff that are in his game that he's going to have to adjust.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party.
But the tools are there, and they see him on the Churio path. They're going to skip rookie ball. He's not going to play rookie ball. He's going to go to A, and they can work through whatever some of those swing things are. And worst case, what it's going to look like is maybe he's just hitting for really high average and stealing bases and not just crushing homers. But he's an incredible talent. It's a big push. I can't get over it. I look at that and I go, man, I mean, if you have a first round pick, you're taking Jesus Madé. Like, I had a draft this year where it was our first year player it's our 3-sport. And I got Madé, and Jesse Sevier cursed me. And I got him as like the 9th pick. A, probably because like people maybe, you know, because it's like all the first year player guys and maybe not paying attention. But like maybe also people are not sure about the valuation. This is telling you the current market valuation for Jesus Madé is very, very high. I don't even think you can say this is it. You know, I wish you could. I don't think you can say this is the high point. I will say, like, if you could trade Mate and get like Bazzana and Clark, I know that's like 13, 14, 15, but there might be a consolidation, but there's a real feel that Mate might be, you know, the number one overall player come next year, especially because if you look at this list, just for argument's sake here, Anthony goes, Sasaki goes, Cruz goes, Campbell goes, Dominguez goes, Shaw goes, maybe Painter. So here's what you're left with. You're left with Walcott. You're left with Jenkins, DeVries, Manuel Rodriguez, and Mate. That's your top five because Jackson Jobel will go. Of my top 15, those are the likely top five that do not have any graduation this year. Could he be number one of that list? Yeah, he could. I think Walcott's probably likely to be one, but I think Mate could be two, DeVries three. I mean, God knows with Rodriguez at this point. And Jenkins, and I think there's obviously other guys that could jump up there, but like there's legitimate possibility, and everybody put their cost into it. I thought there would be bigger variance with him. There was not. It was literally 10 or 16, somewhere in between there. Bazzana had 10 to 24. There was more disagreement on Travis Bazzana than there was Jesus Mate. That's pretty telling. So you do that with that, whatever you want. You know, if you have Jesus Mate and you want to trade him off, you can go King's Ransom and it might get bigger. But he, at the same time, trying to buy him, it probably doesn't look super good. I thought the top 15 was fascinating. Big players that did not make the top 15, you know, down the list, you have Bubba Chandler, who's not far off, Basayo, just looking down here, we're going to talk about a few more. Noah Schultz is around there. Some other big names, but that top 15 feels about right with Mate just kind of like staring at you in the face. It was super interesting. And what you could do here, and I can throw this at you. Let's talk about the first year player. So obviously a lot of your first year players are done. If you want to understand where the valuations are at this moment, I'll go quicker on this, but Jesus Mate, if available, would have been the number two pick based on this, because number one was Roki Sasaki. He came in at two overall. I guess if he's not eligible, I still think, I know we had disagreements, like Cross, I think, didn't want to rank him. My argument was he signed a minor league deal. And yeah, he's going to be in the majors. But if he signs a minor league deal, then I'm going to put him as a first-year player. If it's like a guy that's posting and coming over and signing $60 million, okay, we don't need to put Yamamoto when we did. Roki, I kind of think you do. So Roki was the number one. Travis Bazzana, number two. He was 15 overall, but again, Mate would have been first. So it goes Roki, Bazzana. Those are the only guys in the top 25. But now you're going to go through like 20 picks of like seven dudes. Number three, JJ Weatherholt, top 30 overall player in this. Number four, Jack Caglione. Jack has kind of popped his way back up with that incredible spring, people getting to see him hit for contact, all the positive stuff coming out of the Royals and then maybe wanting to push him up. Like he really pushed himself up. I'm not surprised about this, but man, was there like ups and downs. Number four, surprised but not surprised, it's Connor Griffin. Yeah, Connor Griffin's incredible spring. You know, Clay had talked about some of the swing changes. We've seen him get bigger. He's had some incredible moments in camp as a high schooler, but people feeling really, really comfortable. He is rocketed up. He was number five among the first year player. Number six is Cam Smith now. That's where like Cam, I take Cam Smith over Connor Griffin, but like I get it. But it also like does, it does surprise me a little bit. They were next to each other, by the way. It was 38, 37 overall. But Cam Smith is your number six. Number seven, it's a pitcher, Chase Burns. People saw that mixture of pitches and what we've been talking about for a while in Chase Burns. Chef's kiss. Boom, top 40. Let's see. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven was Burns. Number eight is Christian Moore. Love this one. Huge value to me. And I'd really say, man, those middle picks look really good. Number, what was that? 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Oh, yeah. Number nine, Hagen Smith. We're back into a pitcher. I find that really interesting. And again, I probably skew some of this a little bit. Let me look at Hagen Smith real quick, actually. Because Hagen Smith at 48, I did take him. But I am happy to say I took him the latest of anybody. I got the best deal on Hagen Smith. I took him at 56. He went 46, 53, and 54. And by the way, Matt Thompson and George Bissell from RotoWorld both took him as well. So three industry people. I got the best deal. And the only reason I'm throwing it out there is, like, if you remember, I did multiple episodes with, like, James and Clegg and Cross, and we were doing, like, first-year player stuff. And I just kept not being able to help myself with those pitchers. They just kept falling. And I think a consensus is working in there a little bit. So I feel good about that, because that's not like me dictating the cost. Because three of the four were interested. One of them was me, but I took him the latest. But Matt Thompson and George Bissell took him, and they're not going off my ranks. And Matt took him the highest of anybody inside the top 50. So that's a really fascinating one at 9. One of the best deals is Braden Smith. He is at 10. He's just outside the top 50. Charlie Condon falling all the way to number 11, and then Bryce Rainer, who put up some nice EVs in a couple of spring training games he got, comes in at number 12. But every single player is inside the top 65. So 12 players, 12 of them dictating the top 65 or so coming from the first year player class. That is...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
I just don't remember that happening. Again, it could have. We had incredible, like, what was it, the 2019, where it was like Adley and Vaughn and Witt and Dominguez, and then I think it fell off. They're just like murderers row. Like, if Charlie Condon became the number one guy, you're not surprised. If Christian Moore became the number one guy, you're not surprised. That's what's so fascinating about it. All of these guys could jump up. They all seem to have like similar paths, a lot of college guys as well. There's just an uncertainty of like, oh, that guy will be a no doubt absolute freaking superstar. Could Caglione become Joey Gallo 2.0? Yeah. 12 years, could he be retiring from playing infield and going back to pitching? Yeah, sure. Could happen. But like, all of these guys have like a path of being fantasy relevant. Just their superstardom is in question. So I found that super interesting, especially with the high valuation of them. This is probably my favorite one. Let's talk about the most aggressive industry players that were drafted. So these were the industry people, lots of people, Chris Blessing, Beck. I mean, just phenomenal people. James is in here. Jeff has got some. Kanak has got one. And not every single person is represented. I only chose the top 50 to talk to you about. I'm not going to do this in the top 100, but these were of ADP, the top 50 players. And then when an industry person was the most aggressive on that player versus anybody. And there is roughly, I just got to kind of eyeball this because I didn't count. It looks like about 15 players, 15 of the top 50 have a hyper-aggressive industry person on them. And what you can take out of this, if you want, is these might be targeted players for you. You know, if you're looking in for trade. Unfortunately, not a lot of these guys are coming at any deals. There's maybe a couple, but these are players that, you know, for better or for worse, the industry was making sure, like, I'm taking this guy. I don't care about ADP. I don't care about value. And they were the most aggressive than anybody. I represent two players on this list. Take a look here. I don't think anyone represents more than two, which is, let's see, Jeff has got two. I've got two. Nate Handy's got two. Yeah, there's nobody on here that is, you know, there's not like one person that's got like seven of the top 50 or whatever, but let's go through them. Number one, we've already talked about Nate Handy, the highest of the most aggressive from an industry person was Nate Handy with Andrew Painter. So he took him 4 overall. What do we say? He was 8 on the ADP. So that was one of two of Nate's really aggressive ones. And that's not an uncommon place. And, you know, especially with pitching, you know, like, you're going to take your guys. Nate took his guy, his position in the draft did not dictate that he was going to be able to get Andrew Painter. And rightfully so. Painter never went outside the top 12. So it's like, you take Painter or you don't. In that league, though, it went Roman Anthony, Roky Sasaki, Christian Campbell. So he passed on Dominguez, Cruz, Job, Walcott. You know, that's He probably felt like, hey, if I don't get Anthony, I don't get Roki, and I don't get Christian Campbell. I mean, I can't speak for him. Maybe he would have taken him one overall. I don't know. But he was the most aggressive on Andrew Painter. And now that I'm looking at this, there's only three pitchers on this list whatsoever. So this is number one of the three must-have industry aggressive players. Number two is another top 10 player, George Bissell from NBC, made sure to get Leo DeVries. So we said Leo DeVries was 10 overall. He had kind of a bigger variance, you know, 8, 15, 14, but George took him at 6 overall. He passed on Jason Dominguez, passed on Matt Shaw. I'm just looking at a couple of players. Manuel Rodriguez went really high in that league. Travis Bezzana actually was, that's where Clegg took him really high, but he made sure to take Leo DeVries. Nothing crazy. I don't think that's crazy whatsoever. That was just the high marker, and George made sure to get him. We talked about Jesus Mate. CK was the most aggressive. He's a person in the industry. Jesus Mate at 13 overall. And as mentioned before, Travis Bezzana, 15 by Chris Clegg. So that was an industry pick that he made sure to get the highest. I guess, what was the one with Clegg I was talking about where he took him 10? Did I say 15? 10. I'm sorry. 10 overall. So I wrote that incorrectly. Clegg took him at 10. His ADP was 15, which is exactly where Scott White took him. But Chris Clegg took him at 10 overall. So Bezzana, Mate, DeVries, Painter, kind of names we've talked about. Here's some new ones.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.